Hello, hello, hello! And my best Noam Dar metaphor impression. Surprise, surprise, surprise. Here we are in a surprise NXT stand and deliver review post show, whatever you want to call it. We're in the building. I clamored for weeks and weeks and weeks, and now here comes the pun. We're delivering.
And I hate you so much.
When you see he got his drink in his hand, what do you have to say to the good people? We're an hour away from WrestleMania, and we're about to give you a stand and deliver post show. I got Jacob with me after weeks of calling his name. I knocked. He answered. Sir, talk to the good people.
I mean, didn't they tell you don't go knocking on doors? Somebody might answer. Say my name 101 times and I eventually show up. I'm like Candyman, but I operate on CPT time. But more importantly, TK, this is what happens when you go to Philly and you leave me and said behind. The inmates are running the asylum. The boys are back in town. We got next is here. Jacob and Sed, the tag team podcast champions of the world, former undefeated, reigning, undisputed, all that good stuff. We're here. Mm-hmm. We're back. Maybe one night only. We'll see how you people feel. But more importantly, TK, you shouldn't leave the doors to the studio unlocked because we're here. And oh, we're going to have fun. So much fun.
And on that note, we're going to hit the unofficial intro. Stop it. Don't touch. So take a fake a stake a phone. So after all that,
I've seen that in like a year.
Oh man, that was actually built 2 years ago. And if you're a fan of this podcast, you know this is the show where we talk everything NXT. You'll have some sidebars, you'll have some old TV show discussions, you might have some banter over Nas. And you know what? Now that I realize what I'm wearing, I might let Jacob take the reins for a minute because I owe him something. I'm going to change my shirt in just a quick
No. Stay in the white.
We're going in all black. Because I was going to give you the Cameron Grimes. I was going to give you the legacy Cameron Grimes shirt. You know, it's the first time. And little did you know, I made a bet with Jacob a while ago that I don't remember the exact bet, but I said I would buy Cameron Grimes' brown shirt, that ugly looking shirt. It's in mint condition, authentic. I told him when we get on video, I'll wear the shirt. So it's been worn maybe one time. So I owe him that. But he said I can stay in the chew, so we cool. But you know why we're here? We're here because yesterday we had NXT Stand and Deliver hailing from Philadelphia. I know y'all cold if y'all in Philly. It's cold out there. Ooh. It's a lot going on. But we had a good card. This was built as the card set around history. The first NXT PLE headlining with two African-American superstars, those being Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams. Of course, we'll get to that. But we had a good pre-show. Good pre-show on the card. We had started off with Joe Gacy, kind of in a grudge match with the chairman, Sean Spears, who recently came back. Joe Gacy involved himself in Spears' business recently. What did you think of the pre-show match? Spears... Well, Spears coming back is actually dope. So we're about maybe a month into his return. Gacy's kind of on this psycho kind of beat me up and I'll still keep coming type of gimmick. But what do you think overall of this match? I know you said you didn't really get to see it, but you could see any of the highlights.
Yeah, I saw a few highlights from it. I enjoyed it. The thing, I just have two main takeaways from this, and it's really one for each person. One, Sean Spears is back as Sean Spears. Like, he's back under his government name, if I'm not mistaken. No Ty Dillinger, no Perfect 10 gimmick. He's back, and he's doing some modified version of the chairman gimmick from AEW. It's interesting to see Spears with that gimmick because the Ty Dillinger bit was kind of good money. Like, it fumbled and lost its legs when it kind of sort of had, like, pseudo main roster run, but like Sean Spears, I kind of like this angle. I mean, Rich Holland interjected himself at the very start of this. I kind of like where they were going with getting Rich Holland off my TV. I think that has potential to pay off. Rich Holland has potential to be a very good superstar in the future, probably a solid main mid-card heel down the road, and Sean Spears can get them to that next level. And I think Spears is just in NXT to get his shit off and elevate certain names. And I love that for Sean Spears. One of the best hands in the business. Dusty praised him when Dusty was around. Everybody says nothing but nice things about him. Kind of weird that AEW fumbled the bag with him. I don't think it was a big bag, but, you know, it was a Crown Roll bag full of quarters that I meant to go take to Publix to, you know, turn into like $20.35 worth of cash. But, you know, I'm interested to see how this plays out. Joe Gacy, though, thank God. I don't think the last time me and you did a proper We Got Next, we were talking about Joe Gacy. I don't quite think Shizm had taken off or even Gacy in general. But thank God we ditched the cult leader bit. The Grizzled Young Vets are much better off. They're in TNA and everywhere else, killing it. Ava woke up one day and was like, I'm going to just run NXT. And Regal and Sean were like, cool, this works. And then Gacy has become what Gacy was before he got here, which is a lunatic and a deathmatch specialist and a madman that, like you said, is just like, hey, please keep kicking my ass. I enjoy this. I kind of like it. I'm going to keep coming. So please, please continue. Don't stop. I like it. I love to see where this goes. I think there's potential for Gacy in the mid-card as a North American champ, just not right now because a certain somebody holds that belt. And to quote that man, send whoever you want, but don't send anybody that you want back.
So, yeah, you mentioned the earlier stages of Gacy, which is interesting because he kind of came into the with the inclusiveness gimmick and it didn't latch on. And he's had more lives than Duke Huston when it comes to repackaging, which is saying
a lot. I don't know about that.
It's really saying a lot. But the cult gimmick, I mean, at the core, Schism, the cult gimmick.
I'm not feeling it.
So even with this, and this is different, like it's a different Gacy. You're letting him just be this maniac, quote unquote. The start of this match is actually very interesting because we had a moment where we got a replay into what happened to Gacy when Gacy had his match. I think it was against Obafemi, where Spears came and attacked Gacy with a chair. That's how we got this match. So something about Gacy's entrance getting attacked with chairs, because he was attacked by Ridge Holland, who just retired just recently in the entrance, which kind of gave, you would think would have gave Spears a leg up to win the match. Spears still took the L, which is surprising. So I do echo your sentiments that Spears will not be in NXT for long. Kind of just develop, or sorry, I'll call it enhancement talent is Sean Spears right now, because this gimmick can probably have some legs on main roster depending on who you latch him to. But I don't know what we're doing with Gacy. A lot of those 2.0, if you want to call them miscast, if you're not Bron Breakker, they or Carmelo Hayes, they're looking for how they can kind of level up to get out of NXT. Same with Mr. Don, who I'm sure we'll talk about. But the pre-show match, good one. I'm interested to see what happens with Ridge Holland, who's going to be a lot – he's going to continue to be vilified. So I'm glad that they're leaning into his whole, hey, like, I hurt people. I might not be good at my job, but I don't know what you're going to get with him and Gacy, because it seems just like –
seems like you're pairing the people together that nobody's asking for. And that's rough that I'm saying that, but maybe you build a star out of that match. But we'll see. But that was your pre-show match, Joe Gacy, with Sean Spears.
There's something there. Like, let's be honest with Gacy for a second. Let's spend a little time here. Gacy and those masks got over.
Did they?
They kind of got over. Like,
you don't think they're just
bit.
Handing out Chase U shirts at the door?
Chase U is also over. Like, we talk about NXT 2.0 leftovers and hangovers and such. Chase U is one of those things that works and has worked weirdly. I think Duke Huxton kind of saved that. And I can't believe I'm saying that because, again, me and you spent the longest defecating on Chase U, and I definitely gave Duke Hudson the business. You were more of an advocate for Duke. But
I was a what?
Oh, I'm sorry. Were you not? Did you not support Duke a little bit?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's been that long. Jesus, huh?
All right. Yes, what have you forgotten? No.
Everything. Any other literally, questions?
Literally, he came NXT 2.0 and became Gambit for no reason for like 2 weeks.
That's right. That's right. He was a bootleg JBL from the APA. That's right. But yeah, I mean, it is what it is. And Dylan's asking, can we get Shawn Spears versus Cody on the main roster? For what?
Hard times.
Man, if anything, Shawn Spears would be Cody's backup because I got an idea where, depending upon how night two goes tonight in a couple hours, Cody might need a little help.
I think we all know where that help is coming from. I think we do.
Oh, no, I mean past Mania. I think we know where the Mania help is coming from, and I would rather have saw it last night, but maybe we'll get into that.
We might touch on that if we got some time. I want to make sure we get the good people out of here so they can start their Mania, especially if you're in Philly. If you're joining us in the chat, shout out Dylan Matthews. And I don't know what time it is in Australia, but always a pleasure to see you in the chat. You're joining us on these airwaves. Leave a comment with us. But we want to make sure we get you on time to WrestleMania.
When do you sleep, Dylan? Is what I'm trying to figure out.
Speaking of the match that kind of kept us up, Fast Pace, open the card. We had the Wolf Dogs, NXT Tag Team Champions, Baron Corbin and Bron Breakker taking on the team of Axiom and Nathan Frazier. This match actually surprised me because they were the tag team I did not expect to win their triple threat to go to Stand and Deliver, but here we are. I thought this whole thing was built around the Good Brothers returning to NXT. But this match was fast-paced, hard-hitting. You got to see the best of Bron Breakker that we're going to be seeing on Friday nights every week really, really soon. I think there a lot of circulation around Bron Breakker actually almost not breaking the ring, but shaking the ring. I know some New Yorkers got an earthquake this week. So him hitting the ropes actually shook the ring. But the fast pace of Nathan Frazier and Axiom just taking it to the Wolf Dog majority of the match really set the tone for Stand and Deliver, and it made it feel like a takeover card. What did you think of this match?
Man, like you said, one, when we went through this whole NXT tournament to determine who would get there, I had my money on the Good Brothers. They won, they made it to the triple threat, and they lost on one of those fluke losses where, if I'm not mistaken, they hit the magic killer on one of the members of the LWO, and then you shove Anderson out of the way, and Frazier, if I'm not mistaken, steals the pin. I thought for sure the Good Brothers would win. They'd be the perfect team to take the belts off of Braun and Corbin. That way, both of them can properly go to the main roster and reside on SmackDown. You put the Wolf Dogs on SmackDown. That gives you another established quality tag team to a really deep tag team division that now has its own set of belts to chase, which I am so happy for. But as far as this match goes, dog, you can't tell me Axiom, A-Kid, whatever you want to call them, can't go. And Nathan Frazier is money as well. These two, I don't know if they're future world champs, but they're definitely upper main card, upper mid card, lower main event characters in the future. They can wrestle. They can put on a good match. Nathan Frazier is the Seth Rollins prodigy. I loved every bit about it. Bron Breakker is money. The only thing I have is Bron is such a heel that when he just nerfs somebody, he has that moment of like, oh shit, I really did that. And everybody pops for it. And I'm just like, oh, you take me right out of it. But it's so good. He has the best spear in the business. And that man hits the ropes and the ring posts shake. That is terrifying how fast he is moving.
I'm going to counter that because I don't think the heel run for Bron Breakker worked that well towards the end, tail end of his NXT run, like his pure NXT run. I like this kind of.
Oh, no, this version of it. The like, original heel run was ass.
Yeah, but like he's kind of like this kind of, if you want to call it like dumb jock type of gimmick right now. If you would, that just does all the things. And I think that's really worked for him. And we're actually getting to see
a likable for the first time ever, Baron Corbin. That's bringing out some of that. He's adding some youth to Baron Corbin. Let's say it that way. So that's why I thought they would drop the titles at Stand and Deliver, but it doesn't seem like they're going to drop these belts anytime soon. At least we might. I don't think they'll carry them all the way to Battleground, which is in June. But when you look at the tag team landscape, and I believe they pulled these belts off Gallus, if I remember correctly. Shout out to Gallus for helping the final reign for the tag team match last night. Doesn't seem like there's many tag teams here that would make sense to take them up outside the Good Brothers, but maybe there's some more teams that can probably come down here in the new future, depending on what happens today. I wouldn't mind seeing AOP come down.
They took them off the family.
The family. So, I mean, maybe Gallus reemerges then. I think that would be a good thing to see. We need some stability in the tag team division. It seems like Nathan Frazier and Axiom will be a staple going forward, but I want to see real tag teams get their shine. And right now, until they say, hey, Braun, you got to be on SmackDown religiously every single week, it seems like the Wolf Dogs are here to stay. Would you say that's pretty accurate?
Yeah, I think that's pretty accurate. And I think this is, and just the thing from Stand and Deliver, I think it's like steadying all the divisions and like it's clarifying the pecking order. And I think this tag match really set it as like, hey, Wolf Dogs are top right now. Frazier and Axiom are like right there below them. And then you slot the Good Brothers in as long as they stay in NXT. And now we figure out the rest of that tag division. And we build it out because, if I'm not mistaken, you still have the family. You have the LWO floating around. Chase, you can easily contend. So I like where this is going. I just, Braun's going to have to, like, pull a little bit of double duty because he nerfed two people on SmackDown, and I don't think I've seen them since.
I think he nerfed an NXT superstar the first time. That was Dante Chin, so... Don't know where that came from, but yeah, I think Braun and his 4.3 40 speed will be on SmackDown a lot more when we get past this season of WWE and we get more into the I think they announced they're going to be a draft real soon. So I know we're going to get a lot of Braun Breaker on Friday night going soon. We'll probably get some Monday Night Mellow. We'll get to Mellow in a second. But first, we got to talk about the grudge match that happened. Kind of some get back here. Six women tag, Izzy Dame, JC Jane, Kiana James taking on Fallon Henley, Thea Hell, and Kalani Jordan. And a feud that was built on JC Jane turning on Thea Hell and proclaiming to never be her friend after she quite accurately saved Chase U from their money laundering and the money they owe to the D'Angelo family. What did you think about this match? We end this match with Thea kind of getting her comeuppance. Poor Izzy had to take the Kimura lock and she taps. But we did get a moment between JC Jane and Thea Hell where they did have a one-off and Thea was able to get her licks back.
I think a large part of me looks at Thea. Like, let's look at the six women. Thea Hell, I think you got something with Thea. JC Jane, think there's something there. I feel like she was better with Toxic Attraction. And we know Mandy ain't gonna lace up a pair of boots no time soon to come back for nada.
She getting that
so
money.
You might want to, you know, put her and Gigi back together on some, you know what, I don't really like you that much right now. You don't like me, but we're kind of better together. And then Fallon Henley.
Fallon, I heard doing house calls. That's what this picture is of.
I don't see it. Like, there's a little bit where I could maybe get a mid-card run out of Fallon, which is perfect because that'll be the next thing we talk about.
You don't see like a young Mickey?
I see them trying to make her Mickey.
Okay.
I think Thea Hell could be more Mickey than Fallon. I see where they're going with Fallon, and I would love for Mickey to show up in NXT because they did the Twitter little bit back in a few weeks ago. And I would love for Mickey to come back and like give her a stamp and kind of mentor her, shape her a little bit. That'd be perfect. Kiana James, like the money CEO type deal, boss chick, it's lacking something. And then Izzy just got here, so but she looked good. And who else am I forgetting?
Kalani.
Kalani, same thing. Kalani just got here, but she's looking good. You know what, Shawn Michaels? I hate to look at your Instagram Explore page because Shawn, come on, bro. How you find all these?
We own to you, Hickenbottom.
Come on, Shawn. How you
Kalani? Kalani probably got next up. If I'm being honest, I think they're taking their time with her, and they know they have some time to kind of make sure she has her rightful spot. Thea Hell is the most one of the most interesting characters on NXT. Kind of this scrappy dude persona has really helped her a lot. Fallon actually has the chops where if you put her in a main event spot right now, I can see it. We need to push Kiana James. I don't know what we're doing, but the past couple months of Kiana James matches, she is showing you that she's ready for that spotlight. The character work, the being a businesswoman, having her own like heavy, her heater with Izzy Dame. It's time to really make sure we get Kiana James a spotlight at some point. I want to talk about the lasting image. And if you're on audio listening to the podcast version of this, at the end of the match, there was a celebration after Thea Hell tapped out Izzy Dame. You get everybody celebrating in the ring. They lift up Thea Hell. Everybody celebrating. But you get Fallon Henley, notably behind everybody else, not really celebrating with Duke, Kalani, Chase, Thea.
With a meme mug.
Yeah, and then literally just looking like, I don't know if she did she get really get hurt in that moment, or was she just seething that Thea was the one to pick up the win? Because she's the one that jumped up to cape for Thea when all this stuff was going on during Valentine's Day. So it's a very interesting image. Do you think we get, I don't think we've ever seen it, but do you think we get a heel turn out of Fallon Henley?
Does JC Jane's Mean Girl squad get deeper?
As I was going to sip some wine, did we freeze here? I think we're having some internet issues on Jacob's side, but I'll fill in for those that are listening. I think we might actually get some stuff going on with Fallon. That stare down, that look that she had right there, definitely wasn't, I don't feel like it was for nothing, because we stayed in that shot for quite a while. And if you look at her face, she didn't have a smile for somebody who actually just won a match. So I think it's very interesting that we've come here in the journey of Fallon Henley with her splitting from her former brothers, one of them being in a match on the card tonight as well. But that'll be very interesting to watch. Something to watch for Tuesday night, seeing if Fallon Henley actually does continue this kind of angst that she has, or maybe hidden anger that she has towards Thea Hell. Moving along, probably one of the matches of the weekend. If you watch Mania Night 1, I think everybody on Mania Night 1 is kind of on two sides of the fences, that it was either great, or maybe it was lackluster, or maybe you were just cold as hell in Philly and you didn't know what to do. But the North American Championship match with Dijak, Obafemi, and Josh Briggs delivered. So if you woke up early in Philadelphia to go actually watch that match, you did not leave disappointed. And there were so many spots in this match I can take away from Obafemi actually picking up both men above his head and all the stunts with Dijak. Dijak, people forget that Dijak been going hard for years. Before Dijak became T-Bar in that garbage that was Retribution, he was actually putting on bangers in NXT with Keith Lee. Like, absolute bangers. Like, if you're a purist of the NXT Black and Gold era, you remember those matches he had with Keith Lee where he came up short, but you remembered who Dominik Dijakovic was. And this match actually showcased everything that was good about all three of these men. Josh Briggs choke slamming Dijak into Oba on the outside. Oba, the shot of Oba in the back when he finally picked up the pin at the end, where you felt like Dijak might actually get the win a couple times. And I like that they brought us in and gave us that emotion where we felt like Dijak would finally get his moment. Because if you're like me, you've been seeing all the push Dijak signs on Tuesday nights on SmackDown. You've been seeing them all for the past few weeks. But to have Oba come in and say, like, no, this is still my time, and have that shot where he just rips Dijak off Briggs, tosses him out of there, and gets the win. This is a dark horse for match of the entire weekend. Jacob, what did you think about Oba Femi retaining the title? What do you think about this era that we're in for the mid-card on NXT?
I'm experiencing difficulties. Apologize for my random disappearance right there. But I think this match really had me thinking that belt was about to come.
Maybe I got the wrong link. Let's try that one. Do we have you back? You clear?
Yes, I am back. Thank God. Sorry, random technical difficulties, people. This is what happens when you have a laptop that needs to be replaced. Nonetheless, as I was saying, this made me believe that belt was going to come off of Oba. There was at least about a good 4 or 5 spots in this match where I was like, oh, we about to do this and pull the strap off big fella. This is Josh Briggs' best match, period, point blank, plain and simple. This is his best showing. Me and you were not the biggest fans of them. We called them the Bama boys at one point. They are the stereotypical boys, at least for me, because I grew up in the South, that you went to school with, and you're like, yeah, I know exactly how you get down. But you know what? I ain't going to say the quiet part out loud. But Briggs, I think he has something. I think Jensen made him look bad in that tag team. So has Jensen put on this good of a solo match since they kind of went their separate ways?
I'm glad you mentioned separate ways, because if you quietly go to NXT live shows and live events, he is entering the ring to Separate Ways, which is very strong. I know WWE is not forking out any coin for any type of legacy theme songs or anything like that, but it's a good look for him. And I think it kind of speaks to like maybe an underdog character they're trying to build for him. Because even with Briggs getting the JBL rub that he got, I will say I'm not fully buying stock in Josh Briggs as a single star yet.
Oh, I'm not buying stock, but this is a damn good performance and definitely a sign in a positive direction. Because we've learned that JBL cosign does not always work. Look at Baron Corbin. But the screenshot we have up right now, I was watching that spot being set up and I was like, they're not. You know how much weight that is for one man to have on his shoulders? Like, Oba did track and field at Bama. If I'm not mistaken, he did shock put. That is a big, strong young man. That is a big boy. And Dylan's talking about Oba versus Omos. I only want that because big men bumping meat. That's the only reason. Like, Oba might be that dude. I wouldn't be surprised if next year at Stand and Deliver, we're crowning Oba as NXT champion.
You know what? I mean, the crazy thing is Oba has charisma. The entrance, yeah. Everything, the fans singing on accord. He has an audience behind him. He has presence. And he might, you know what? And they have to do this the right way. I hope that he does spend the next year at NXT, because you don't want to hotshot this and get lost in the main roster and then lose your aura. I don't know. Like, for example, like I don't think we've even seen Odyssey Jones, who was the most recent big man in NXT.
God, I forgot all about Odyssey.
He was a part of the draft, the most recent draft last year. So I think he has all the potential. Like you see Barry Monkey, thanks for your comment. He says Oba has the ability, the mic skills, the potential, the charisma, all that stuff. Omos is sadly lacking, but we forget. That's why Omos has MVP.
Also, Omos is 7'5". Like, I don't need you to have much personality. give you a mouthpiece and let you go wreck stuff. The problem is when you try to make him do more than wreck stuff and be a special attraction.
He did good in his part in the Andre Giant Memorial Battle Royal. But for Femi, I think they've been looking for their next big man star for a while. And I think they might find him here in NXT. But for everything that was great about this match, it felt like the moments in this match were building towards Dijak, which means eventually we're going to get that one-on-one match with Dijak and Oba Femi. And I feel like, you know what? Same way that I didn't expect them to put gold on Baron Corbin, I feel like we're going to put gold on Dijak. And while you were kind of fixing the connection here, I kind of took people down memory lane and was telling people about those matches Dijak used to have with Keith Lee that are absolutely
classics.
Classics. If you want to say top 10, top 15 NXT matches of all time, including pay-per-views, they're there. So, like, I think you might get those moments where you say, hey, Dijak, thank you for your services, and we're going to crown you NXT North American champion and let Oba go on to greater pastures. Because if you want to have somebody be the face of your brand at this point, you want to have a new champion be the new face, new era of NXT, there he is.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up Dijak and the Keith Lee bit, because I was going to say, at this point, I feel like Dijak is like trying to get a monkey off his back. Like, that NXT title is just pure hell to Dijak, because he was Dominik Dijak before? Dijakovic before? Yeah, Dijakovic. Like, doesn't matter what you call him, as long as you don't call him T-Bar, he just cannot get that NXT title. It's like
shout out to Mansoor for bringing the mask to WWE World this weekend too.
A plus job. Like those two, like Mansoor and his partner have been killing it on the indies since they've been released. Great job. I love it. But Dijak is just dog. And he put out that tweet after the Asylum match with Gacy where he was like, yeah, you think it's X, Y, and Z and stupid this and the third. He was like, dog, I was to the point where I would not answer a Connecticut area code phone number that I didn't have saved in my phone because I thought I was getting fired. So for me to be here, like, he's like, I am more than thrilled and happy to be in this position. So yeah, I think at some point he's going to finally get that monkey off his back and cheap pun here, finish the story and have his crowning moment.
You know what? And I look forward to it because he's definitely earned it for just being the good soldier, if you would, and just being in that terrible faction that went nowhere that we thought was going to have all these legs.
It was so good. And then it fell apart.
Mm-hmm.
There was so much promise and then it just fell apart quickly, which is typical for Vince. Because it was just done as a shot at a certain side of the aisle in politics. So,
yep. Now, you know what else is falling apart this weekend? It's probably Lyra Valkyria's arm.
Quick question.
Go ahead.
Quick question. Before we get into that, you mentioned Keith Lee and Dijak. I don't know if you saw, but did you see the photo that kind of made its rounds about Keith Lee backstage at WWE?
He wasn't backstage per se. He might have been wandering, getting lost at the Hall of Fame during CM Punk's interview. I think Punk may have said something about it on the actual mic. I'm going to say much ado about nothing.
That's probably the case, but if you're a certain man in Jacksonville with a bunch of money, you feeling some type of way right now, right? Like,
could be.
Who? Like, I don't think it was intentional by WWE, but, like, also, Keith Lee kind of has to be cognizant of these things, no? But also,
I think he was legitimately not knowing where he was supposed to be and maybe got wandered, so somebody fingered him, like, hey, there's an interview happening on TV. He's like, oh, okay. So, but
caught
like,
him at the wrong moment?
Caught him at the wrong moment. So I don't think it was intentional, but I think you can build off of it if you want to play into that game. And may there's a certain somebody around these parts we call the fake TK who probably just remembered that he has that man signed to his roster. So
also, we'll come home.
Yeah. Not right, Bearcat though.
Yeah. But, Dylan told us we got 20 minutes. Dylan, we'll go as long as we want.
Oh no, we're gonna get you out of here by Mania. I'm the original boss, not the final boss, but we're gonna get you out of here by Mania. But yeah, speaking of things that have fallen off the arm, Lyra Valkyria and Roxanne Perez. Oh my God, you want a banger? Oh my.
Well, because you lose it, you never win.
Oh boy! That stuff is. Yeah.
Man, man, I wasn't here for the Mean Girl Roxanne these past few weeks, but boy, did she showcase something different in the ring. When you talk about the ladies just going at it, I would say so far, this is the women's match of the weekend. Easily. Easily.
I didn't see Supercard of Honor. I need to go back and watch that at some point this week. Heard Athena put out another banger, which I'm not surprised. I saw Bloodsport, and I don't know if you want to put Bloodsport in the same category.
Talking about Shayna Masha?
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah, because we got to see Vicious Shayna again. So, yeah, I mean, that's there.
Shayna A-Town stomp Masha in the next week.
Yeah, I did see that.
But otherwise, but I could argue that, yes, this has been the best match we've seen from a traditional wrestling woman versus woman standpoint.
Yeah, I think it showcased both characters very well. What I liked about it, which we might get a rematch in the near future, is that we're playing off the angle that Lyra Valkyria was hurt in this match. And I think we did that in a couple matches on this card tonight with her, where the champion was hurt. But Roxanne took advantage of that. And I think the more telling thing is getting Lyra to tap and become women's champion again. So everything she was saying was true. The fact that she never got her singles match for the title, with the title that she never lost. They had the whole exhaustion angle that they did last year to get the belt off of her. She went to Stand and Deliver, and then Indy Hartwell won the ladder match for the title. And then Indy was hurt and they had to vacate it essentially. And Indy went to the main roster. So this second coming of Roxanne, where she is now the champion again, this can either be a lengthy run. I know there's been rumblings of Roxanne going to Maine, but I don't know. That was a pretty dominant finish where I feel like maybe she's going to usher in this new CW era as the face of the women's division, a division that probably needed some stability. And I'm going to just be honest. It needed a shot in the arm because Lyra's title reign wasn't hitting like that.
I mean, it wasn't hitting like that because the women's division outside of Roxanne Perez and NXT right now ain't hitting like that. You got a lot of blue chip prospects and a lot of young rookies and like second year players, if you want to keep this as a sport analogy, that are like, they're on their way, but like you ain't big time, big proven. Like Roxanne has proven to be big time, big money. Lyra has proven I'm big time, big money. And also, I thought for a second she was going to find a way out of that at the end. But here's the most important thing. And here's the question I ask you, Mr. Welton. Do you feel like we just saw a double turn? Because look at the end of that match. Because
they elevated Rox, and then they had the backstage segment where Lyra was like, it's not the time, Tatum. That?
Like, she gave Tatum hell during the match when she popped up. And then you had that moment. You heard the reaction to Roxanne. Like, I get it. But this is a pro wrestling NXT heavy crowd that probably not the same you'll get in the Capitol Wrestling Center. But that, and then like you said, combined with the backstage, I think they maybe unintentionally did a double turn. You may have unintentionally gotten a double turn. We'll see how it plays out Tuesday. But I think the potential is there. I do like this Roxanne with some teeth to her character because just the smiley, happy-go-lucky prodigy bit wasn't doing it for me. And I need to shut up.
Essentially, she's doing the Cora Jade bit better than Cora Jade right now.
Yep.
Because she can actually show that more in the ring at this point in her career. So if they continue going on this, maybe Lyra does need some more edge to her to have some mainstay on the roster. Because you might be right about the talent pool. I feel like there's the NXT Women's Division is deep. You can make an argument for anybody to actually take homage and take a shot at the champion at any time. But there is kind of like their 1As, 1Bs, then you get down a step and it's like, okay, you got a bunch of pool of everybody the same. I think Fallon Henley's on her way up. I think they want to wait on people like Kalani Jordan, which is why I say maybe push Kiana James, and maybe we don't really need the true baby face that people get behind. Maybe that's the key for Lyra, is that she gets kind of aggressive as well. But that's fair. I think they have a good There's a good problem that they have on their hands here. And you know what?
You know what? There was a moment backstage, I believe. It might have been in the pre-show. And I was very slanderous on here if you was on this show about a week or two ago, where Roxanne said the old Roxanne would have listened to all of her old heroes and everything they said when you saw a backstage segment with Natalya. Maybe you have a one-off where Natalya takes a run at Roxanne just to, you know, have Rox tap her out kind of further this like little bit of a mean streak. But we do need to build some more stars in the women's division. But the cool problem that they have is there's a ton of people to pull from.
Yeah, it's you're deep. But like if we're looking at this like basketball, it's like the Western Conference. The West is deep. But like you got 2-3 true title contenders and then everybody else is just right there in that next level sandwiched together. And, you know, cream allegedly rises to the top and hopefully somebody separates themselves, especially given what we have coming up for the women's division now.
Yeah, I agree. And eventually we talk about Stand and Deliver 2024. We know who's going to be champion and I don't have any graphics or links or anything like that to showcase that. But if you watch this show on a weekly basis, you know exactly who I'm talking about. But shout out to Roxanne, the new NXT Women's Champion. And I'm looking forward to seeing this heel run go further. Now we got to talk about the Mad Dragon taking on Adonim NXT, a match I've been critical with. I was actually on Draped in Gold earlier this Wednesday. Shout out to Flobo Boyce talking about this match and talking about what we're doing to Ilya, because it seemed like this match was built more around Tony D'Angelo than it was Ilya Dragunov, who's the actual champion. More so flexing the chops as the Don and what he can do and all the power he has. Stuff that we haven't seen since NXT 2.0 actually debuted. So, like, what do you feel about this match? Shout out to Will Chisholm. Yes, Julia was there. That was actually a very beautiful moment when they announced her and she kind of had this awestruck look that, hey, it's really happening. So Julia, whenever she debuts, that'll be a big deal as well for Roxanne.
Run. It's all I can say, Roxanne. Run.
Dylan saying, Tony D losing made no sense. Ooh, that's tough.
You know what, Beth? Thank you, Dylan. I'm glad you said that. You are out of your rabbit mind. Please go chase a kangaroo, mate, because Tony D winning would make no sense. How do you dethrone Ilya Dragunov, the czar, after he's knocked off Trick, Melo, and everybody else underneath the sun for Tony D'Angelo, which is literally a horrible ripoff of The Sopranos meets 1990s WWE booking, which somehow has survived the rebrand from NXT 2.0 to just traditional black and orange instead of black and gold NXT. D'Angelo doesn't do it. The man comes out wrestling in a domestic disturbance garment and some velour pants like we are back in 2006, 2007, and I'm a senior in high school. Dog, no. Like, is he good as a character? Sure. But, like, come on, fam. You spent this whole bill talking about, I'm the Don. I could have got you out of here. And then Dragunov has the broken hand angle. Come on. What can Tony do? Tony D do his chance?
He's sleeping under a rock or something.
He's a mad dragon.
Come on.
You think that this is going towards Tony D'Angelo's NXT, where he was going to be the guy going forward. That's what it felt like. It felt like he was going to use his power. Now, the one wrinkle in this match that I will mention is that he wanted to do it the right way.
Which is stupid, given his character.
Anything like that. He didn't want to do anything to do it the wrong way. He respected Ilya, and he even gave him his respect after the match, even when he was getting bludgeoned and beat up in front of the family. So I think we're going to play and lean way more into that going forward, where he says, you know what, screw it. I have this power. I'm going to take this title from Ilya Dragunov. But what do you think about all this, I guess, this time after, 2 years since NXT 2.0 that we're putting into the D'Angelo character now? Having Luca Crucifino be his kind of attorney, having Rizzo there as well. We're adding more layers to the Don character. So something is going to shake out with this character. I don't know if it's going to be the NXT world champion, but clearly they're telling us something in a foreshadowing way.
I mean, he beat Ciampa. Whether that was the Vince and Pritchard area of NXT or not it is what it is. You beat the arguably greatest NXT star of all time, Johnny Gargano, would like a word. But you beat Ciampa. You've had key wins. You won that War Games match as 2.0. I get it. It's just the character reeks of mid-90s WWE pre-Attitude Era. And the whole I want to do this honorably thing kind of defeats the whole I'm the Don of this. Like, is it Uchiwali or is it One Mike, sir? Which one is it? Like, come on, bro. Let's just be honest here, sir. And I think you might be right. At some point, I think this will put some edge and a little bit of bite in Tony D's teeth and character and drive him over the edge. And then he just goes full Don and he makes Ilya's life a living hell. And then he snatches the butt off of him. If you do that, I can live with it and that'll work. Otherwise, you know, smoking on that mid.
You know, I mean, another character who's been given chance after chance. And I think coming into everything, there was a lot of fanfare behind the character. Then it kind of went by the wayside a little bit. Then we had this whole ceremony for the Don. So I think this is the rebirth of what the Don of NXT means. But I agree with that. I think you're going to see him start making life for Tony D'Angelo a living hell, whether that means more ride shares, more boots on his vehicle, more hopping the back of the car, more meals that we don't even see what they are given to him. Uber Eats, whatever. So we're going to see a lot more of that type of stuff for Ilya Dragunov to where maybe it makes him break. I don't think there's any type of – I mean, things aren't done on accident. The report that came out maybe like a week ago that said that WWE officials backstage are very high on Ilya Dragunov and see him the same way they see Gunther as having like a lengthy reign of streak of wins, stuff like that. That's not an accident. They see the work he's doing in NXT. They have Hickenbottom's recommendation. And they're like, hey man, like whenever you're ready to pass him up, like let us know. So I'm just saying if it's Tony D'Angelo, don't be surprised. I just don't know if Tony D'Angelo is going to have the legs to have staying power in that space.
Oh, he's transitioning.
Like that's what I'm saying, because the character itself has yet to really grasp a lot of fans outside of the backstage gimmicks. And honestly, in my personal opinion, the D'Angelo family gimmick peaked during the Turf Wars against Legado del Fantasma.
Oh yeah, that was it. Like that was the time where you have to crown one of them something. And I think, like, here's the thing: Dragunov is viewed as Gunther. And they've always viewed Dragunov and Gunther highly. Trips and Sean specifically. From NXT UK to NXT to the integration. It's just perfect. So I think D'Angelo maybe gets it off of him at Battleground if we continue to go this angle. And D'Angelo is just nothing more than the placeholder till the next big signing or the next big person that they want to go to.
We got a comment in chat before we talk about the main event. Savage Manu 92. I wonder if that's a Manu Ginobili reference. Who should hold the Women's North American Championship? You already know my answer, so I'm gonna let Jacob talk about that one. You already
know. Get out. Duff, get out. You know, I think here, so boom. Let me make sure my line's not tapped still to Orlando or not. You know, this isn't our normal platform, so I don't know if they bugged me here too, but I'm calling it now. I'm assuming this is probably going to be like an 8-person tournament, maybe 8-12-person tournament. And I'm calling it. Here's your finals. Fallon Henley, Thea Hill. This is where you get that full Fallon Hill turn, and I think you give Fallon the belt. But I'm calling it. That's your finals. Although I believe,
so you think it's gonna be a breakout tournament? Get ish. It.
Ish, yeah. Unless you just do a ladder match, which I think is probably the best way to do this. You do a series of qualifiers leading up to Battleground, and then at Battleground in the godforsaken Apex at the UFC, which is going to be horrible optically. Then you crown it in a ladder match, and I just want
to be an intimate show, though. It'd be a very intimate show still.
I don't want intimacy. I want a good wrestling environment. The UFC shows look trash in the Apex. The cage is smaller. They look trash. You don't let fans in the Apex.
And you actually hear the strikes. You hear them. You feel them. You emote.
And it looks bad when you pan out the camera, does it?
Pandemic era used to clear. We can't forget that they actually killed the pandemic era for wrestling shows from a production standpoint.
Oh, yeah, for wrestling, yeah, because Vince and Trips were like, hey, let's just put screens here, zoom people in. Yeah, it makes sense. But like, and they had fun during the pandemic. They're like, screw it. What are we going to do? There's nothing else on TV. Like, let's just have fun. But no, I got Fallon Henley versus Thea Hale. Fallon wins with a heel turn if it's a traditional. Otherwise, we go to a ladder match, and I think Thea Hale gets it in a ladder match.
And me, you know my answer. From breakout tournament winner, failed cash-in attempt, to the first ever women's North American champion, and the hips don't lie.
Company to the ring by Dakota Kai and the WWE Women's Tag Team Champions, the Kabuki Warriors, representing Damage Control. She is the WWE.
And you know what? If it don't happen, you know, I got your phone number, Hickenbottom. I got your phone number. But we so got to talk quick, about real, the main
quick,
event.
Quick sidebar. Quick right. sidebar before we go into main event. Can we talk about how Asuka is always on rhythm and on beat? I'm just putting that out there. I'm just saying.
She's trained.
Just saying. If she had the cookout, I'd completely understand. That's all I'm saying. She gets a pass. No.
Yep. Two plates.
Yep. You can even get a go plate and we won't question you.
Yep. Extra foil because it's going to be heavy. It's going to have some heft to it. It has some heft.
Double the plate.
We got to talk about the main event, which was the history-making main event, brother versus brother, and arguably the best brother versus brother match this WrestleMania weekend thus far. Do with that soundbite what you may. We had Trick Williams versus Carmelo Hayes, and Melo came out in full thuggery, dressed like Killmonger from Black Panther, had the Trick jersey in the rafters already, and we were wondering if he was going to hang another jersey, but Trick's entrance told me a different story. He came out, they kind of gave him the Sami Zayn treatment, if you know what I'm talking about, if you watch WrestleMania that one, where they followed him from the back, and he had his traditional boxing robe on that said Anointed One. And being a Philly hometown kid, the fans were chanting his theme music, Whoop That Trick, echoed by Booker T. Now, the match, I'm going to let Jacob go first because I'm going to sound like a hater and I got to get my thoughts off. But what did you think about the match itself? Because this was a way to showcase Trick as not only next up, but the face of the NXT brand. For Melo, who even though he's always hasn't been the actual world champion, a lot of people feel like he was the face of NXT as well as NXT 2.0.
Yeah, Melo is the face of NXT. That is a very fair statement to make. I tweeted this yesterday in all caps. I really wish Booker T would shut the hell up, and hell is not the word I used on Twitter. Like, Booker ruined a damn good entrance. Like, I'm sitting on my couch just chilling. That bass hit, I immediately popped up, and I was literally going, whoop that Trick the whole way. You want to know what that entrance felt like? It felt very Bad Bunny in Puerto Rico-ish. Like, it gave me those same chills, those same vibes. Like, the hometown kid has come back, and you have everything hype. I'm talking about, it is 1 o'clock in the afternoon or whatever, 2, whatever, and I am bouncing off my couch hype. It restored the feeling. I had goosebumps. And the next thing I hear is, yeah, I like it. Yeah, I dig it. Shut the hell up, Booker T. Just shut the hell up. You're loud for no reason. So there's that. Now, as far as the match goes, I might be a hater here. And I think me and you might be on the same page. I don't quite feel like it was a full showcase for Trick. He had his moments. It looked good. But here's my most important thing. Two things. That match felt short. And that ending felt cheap.
Okay. Very fair. Very fair. And you know what? When you put that Bad Bunny tweet out, I wanted to delete it for you because that was blasphemous. You don't compare, was it not? No. You don't compare possibly like what? 20K, 30K, 40K fans in Puerto Rico singing Chambea on one accord to that. No, that he had aura, but it wasn't that.
Now, take out Booker T and tell me it's not the same or close to it.
Booker T is kind of made. Let's be real. Booker T made Trick hot. He kind of made Trick hot, you know, because here's the thing. Fans are desperate to see some of Booker T in Trick Williams. And here's what I'm going to sound like a hater, because it's just not happening. They're not the same superstar whatsoever. And there's a lot of learning. There's a lot of growth that Trick needs to have. And his rise is kind of happening really fast before our eyes. But the match itself, to me, the match itself did more to hurt Trick's credibility than help him. Even getting the win against Carmelo Hayes, which I completely disagree.
His bullshit.
Like Jacob said, the ending felt like very cheap. But to me, even on commentary, they kept saying things like, oh, well, yeah, look at Melo. He's kind of running circles around Trick. And Trick is not a wrestler. He's a fighter. He needs to make this a fight. He needs to take it outside the ring. And whenever Melo came to the ring, Trick was leaps and bounds behind Carmelo Hayes. So to get a win off a running knee strike, I don't know. Like you said, it felt kind of cheap after Melo kind of got all his stuff out, made him look silly. Yes, he got struck in the crowd. I think he knocked off his pops or one of his family members' hat, who was wearing a shirt in the crowd. It didn't feel like it fleshed out enough for a match that they were saying was going to be the greatest NXT main event of all time. It didn't feel like that. And you know why it didn't feel like that? It's because one person is here and one person is here. And I sound like a hater.
It's not a knock on Trick.
I get it. It's not a knock on Trick, but Trick still feels like one of the NXT 2.0 superstars that you're trying to like push in front of us as next up. And I get it. He'll get there. But like from an in-ring standpoint, he really didn't belong in there with Melo in that platform yet, unless he can really do the graps, really do the ropes. It's not just a striking affair. And because this match was a far cry from the Iron Survivor. The Iron Survivor popped me.
Was perfect.
It was perfect. Him getting those, racking off those W's in that short period of time, it was great. But this, I felt like, set him back a lot as a character, even getting the win.
No, yeah, I can see that, because here's the thing. Like, we all know Trick just picked up wrestling within the past 5 years. Carmelo Hayes had a relatively solid career on the indies as Chris Casanova. The boy could go. And the thing is, at least with Trick versus Dragunov, it played the Trick's strength. It was a struggle. It was a fight. Those played to Trick's strength. This was like a sprint and a bit of a wrestling match. And you could see where Trick was a little behind. And here's why I said it felt cheap, and I'm glad you agreed with me, even with the win. You know what this felt like? Because you love MMA. This felt like you were getting your ass whooped for 5 rounds. This felt like Usman. I'm sorry. Was that the head kick to hell? Leon Edwards head kick.
Head kick after getting beat down the entire fight. Yeah.
Yep, that's what this felt like. Am I wrong? It felt like a flash knockout. Mm-hmm. He was just waiting.
Just enough to get the three count. Not enough to call you the guy. Not enough to call you him. Enough to say, hey, you got a three count.
I beat you.
And here's the problem. Here, you know what? I'm glad you brought that up. I'm glad you brought up the flash kick right there. Here's what I did not like about the match. During the pre-show, we got Ava going backstage to ref and saying, like, hey, we need to have a definitive winner. Use your discretion. But why is it okay?
Yeah, I saw that tweet.
Why is it okay for Trick to use the chair, but when Melo reintroduces it back, it gets taken from him?
Because the ref was down.
The ref was down. He clearly turned around. That's bullshit. He turned around and saw, or at least heard, the chair being used on Carmelo Hayes. You heard it. You're not groggy and dazed from a
Eddie Guerrero at that point.
Trick Williams stinger splash. Get the fuck out of here. Trick Williams stinger splash had you all like you couldn't see nothing. But then when Melo starts to use the chair, it's like, oh no, we got to pull it away from you. I didn't like that. That's why it felt cheap. This match should have been a Philadelphia street fight. I know we're leaving a Philadelphia street fight for the Final Testament versus the Pride, and you want to give them their time. Those superstars have been on main roster for a while. They've earned that. I feel like Uso versus Uso should have also been a street fight, because when you have so much blood in the feud, you want to have... Uso versus
Uso should have had Rikishi and some stakes to it.
Yeah. I feel like it still gave us the emotional moments. Like, even this match gave us some emotional moments, but it needed more to make Trick look like somebody that you can place above Melo. Because right now, Melo, Monday nights. Monday night
so
Melo.
So here's my question.
You're here now.
Here's my question before we get out of here, because I know some of y'all probably have us on while Mania is getting started and all that. Cool, and we appreciate it. Dylan, give me a countdown. Let me know what's going on Mania. Here's my question right now. Given the flukish nature of the win, which we both agree, flash knockout, you pulled one out your ass, you walked off with one. Do we run this back at Battleground? Does it continue, or is Melo like fully gone to the main roster? Because he did his little stint on SmackDown. He was in the U.S. tournament, and he kind of just, you know, bounced back and forth. Oh, America the Beautiful is going to take like 10 minutes. We're good, baby. So,
hold on. Is it Coco again? Is it Coco again?
I don't know, Dylan. Is it?
Oh, but I mean, either way. I don't know if we run this back, because you just kind of – you said the Apex isn't that good of a scenario. We only run it back as if you give him a win over Trick. Oh, you remember when Grayson Waller took Johnny Gargano off TV?
Yeah, and Gargano came back and got it. Yeah.
Yeah. You might have one of those scenarios where
that's fair.
Where Melo comes back and just attacks Trick again. You get Trick off TV for a while. Melo goes and rides off into the sunset on Monday nights. Maybe sometime later in the year you get that blood feud when Trick is really ready. But right now, you got to look at Trick as next up, as the guy. And I'm not mad at it. I just wish it was a better showcase for him if we're really going to give him that platform. Because it's not very often that we see the hometown person win. And they did all these theatrics, all these interviews, things like that, telling his story as a former Philadelphia Eagle, brought his family in. And I feel like the match did not hold up for something that we deemed history making. And I'm a black and gold purist, and I've seen some great main events. This don't hold up to that. This don't hold up to that. I just gotta be honest and being fair. I appreciate the moment, appreciate the history, but it did not hold up. And Dylan is saying that Stephanie McMahon is coming out.
But, she's got that same outfit from the Hall of Fame, or
I don't know. By the way, that was NXT Stand and Deliver. I would say overall the card did feel kind of takeover-ish. NXT has been cooking ever since this new era under Triple H's stewardship, under Shawn Michaels' stewardship. And there's a lot of superstars going to be getting shine here over the next few months as we move into Battleground in June. And like I said, we're about to get out of here because WrestleMania is getting ready to start. Surprise show here. You thought I was lying when I was knocking on the door right now, man. I said we was going to get an NXT review show, NXT post show, and you thought we weren't going to come. You thought we weren't going to show up, but...
Ha, ha. Jokes on you. High five.
The podcast tag team champions are back. Take that how you will. I like that if you want to use that reference as well. I mean, you want to talk about the diss tracks, we can get into that. There'll be more sidebars to come. But Jacob, WrestleMania is getting ready to start. Tell the good people where they can find you and the match you are most excited for tonight.
Let me take a song like old times. Match I'm most excited for tonight. Let me look at that night 2 card real quick, make sure I'm not forgetting anything. But right now, there's two matches that I'm really excited for. I'm excited for Io versus Bayley, because I feel like they probably should have got a main event if Rocky didn't pop in and they had to reverse course on this and altered plans. I feel like they would have got a main event. And I'm also weirdly excited for LA Knight versus AJ Styles, because this has been just some blood feud on site. Like, AJ Styles took a 17-20 hour flight across the world and didn't fall off the world, because apparently the world's not flat, just to hand out a beatdown in Australia. And LA Knight was like, all right, cool, bet. I'm going to pull up to your mama and them house. I'm going to pull right to your crib. And they've been scrapping all week in Philly at every event. So I love it. Like, those are my two favorite matches I'm looking forward to. And, you know, I can't wait to see what happens.
And tell the good people where they can find you.
Oh, yeah. If you want to find me, I'm on Twitter @_JDella. That is @_JDELA, like it says right there in my name next to it. And Mr. Welton can be found. I'm going to just do your bit, sir, because this is We Got Next. So I'm going to go ahead and hit it like old time sets. You can follow said on Twitter @_CEDD_SAYS. And if you want to find him on Instagram and look at his beach photos while he relaxes and calms down from a rough day and weekend, that is said is the answer. All one word, no underscores, all put together. We can follow him the show @_WeGotNext. Next is spelled as NXT, the black and gold, the brand that we cover, the home of the former reigning, undisputed, undefeated podcast tag team champions of the world. We vacated those belts because I went on sabbatical, but let the word be known, we back, baby, and we coming for all of it. Drape the gold, masked man, wrestle rap, everybody, we want it all. We want to smoke Andreas and Kel. We've had y'all on before. Pull up, we coming. Jesse Velasquez, TRN Unplugged, tell your partners, Ryan and Jesse at Top Rope Nation, we coming. We want to smoke with all of y'all. The boys in black are back. We are here. We want it all. Period. Point blank, plain and simple. The best promo in the game, the mouth of the West, the best in the West. We are here, baby. The New Age Black Heart Foundation. We want it all, baby, and we gonna take it.
And I promise you this, above all else, I'm going to be more obnoxious, more overbearing, and I'm going to make you all learn to love it because you'll have no choice.
That's been We Got Next. Enjoy WrestleMania. We'll be back for WWT Live. Check out all of our shows on womenswrestlingtalkpod.com, the number one network for all things women's wrestling. God damn it, we out of here.
Thanks for joining WWT. Don't forget to like us on all social media platforms at WW Talk Pod. Like and subscribe on all video and audio platforms like yesterday, my G. And check out our website at www.talkpod.com. Thanks for watching Women's Wrestling Talk, the number one women's wrestling network.